The theme of the concert tonight is the light of the world, and I'd like to just take a few moments and draw our attention to a verse of Scripture, really, from which that theme is derived. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." For us, it seemed like an obvious theme. We talk about light at Christmas, but when Jesus said this, it was actually in the context of people who were rejecting him. In fact, just a number of verses later, about 20 or so verses later, they're talking about trying to kill Jesus. So his claim to be the light of the world was not immediately received with great response and acceptance. And it's because of the very nature of that claim, and that's the first thing I'd like us to see here. When he says, "I am the light of the world," what Jesus is saying there is that he is the source of revelation from God about God. In fact, if you were to read the 8th chapter of John, I think it would become clear, because all along that passage it talks about, "I am speaking, I am testifying, that I'm giving you this witness as to what the truth is." Jesus was claiming to be the one who revealed God to them, but not just a claim that was made as someone who could tell them about the light. I mean, tonight, I'm standing here and I'm pointing to the light. I'm telling you about the light. But Jesus doesn't talk like that. He doesn't say, "I know where the light is," or "I know how you can find the light." Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." When Jesus makes that claim, he's establishing himself as the one true revelation of who God is. That he is the one who can make God known, even as we've seen in the scriptures read tonight. That he is the one who made known God, because he is God. He says six chapters later, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And one of his disciples says, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." And Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He's saying, "I'm God. I am the one who made everything. I am the one who brought it all into existence. And if you want to know how to find God, it's me. You need to come in the light of my revelation." It's an incredible claim. It's a claim that he made without hesitation, and because he was so clear about that claim, the people of that day wanted to kill him, and eventually did nail him to the cross precisely because of who he claimed to be, that he was the very revelation of God himself. And God the Father testified that to him with the words and works that Jesus performed, and ultimately just a few verses later in the same chapter, Jesus says, "I will be lifted up," referring to the cross, "and then you will know that I am the light of the world." Because his death and resurrection was going to be the final confirmation of the fact that he was, in fact, God in human flesh. Death could not hold him. It would not be possible for him to be contained by death, because he is God. He has life in himself. So what about this claim? What are the consequences, really, of accepting this claim? Well, the text names two of them. Notice it says, "He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So Jesus essentially promises two things to people if they will accept the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. The first is they'll have victory over darkness. They'll be delivered from it. They will not walk in the darkness. In the Gospel of John, from which this verse comes, there's been a clear pattern of demonstration between a divide between light and darkness. In fact, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life." The very next couple of verses talk about the fact that people reject the light, and it says, "Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." So when Jesus says, if you accept or follow me, the light of the world, then you will not walk in the darkness. God will accomplish something in your life that transfers you from darkness to light. God will work in you to set you free from the power of evil, and in fact, the darkness of this world. He will make you his child, and that's why Ephesians 5 talks about believers as children of light. So walk in the light, because in ourselves, the reality of it is we're in darkness. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sins, that we, in fact, love darkness rather than light because we don't want our deeds to be exposed, that we, in fact, love ourselves above God and choose our own way ahead of God. And so Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And if you'll acknowledge that, then you will not walk in darkness, but in fact, you will have the light of light. Not only will you defeat darkness, but the promise here is that you will be able to defeat death. Look at the last word of that verse, the light of life. Because darkness leads to death. But the light that Jesus brings leads to life. Because as he will say in a couple of chapters, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. So the promise that Jesus makes here is he positions himself as the one who reveals God and therefore reveals salvation, is he says to all of us who are in darkness, I'm the light of the world. If you will follow me, you will not walk or live in darkness, but you will have the light of life. It's an incredible promise that Jesus will give to us the salvation that could only come from God because he's the one who has that. But we went across those words there that we must not miss. Notice it says, he who follows me, he who follows me, will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. What that is a statement of, and we know it from the context around it, and I'd encourage you to read John chapter 8, that follow is a way of describing what it means to come to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, it's very common for us to talk about believing in Jesus, but sometimes when we say that, people are just saying it in an intellectual sense. That is, they have a knowledge about Jesus, they have certain facts about Jesus, and they don't dispute those facts, they sort of accept those facts. And they think that that's what it means to actually trust in Jesus. But the Bible is clear that saving faith, the kind of faith that actually brings life, involves not just the mind, but also the emotion and the will. That is, it's a knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ, but also it's an agreement with that truth and ultimately a trust in it. That is, you believe it, not just because you have some information, but you've actually come to agree with that information and you've placed your trust in it. That's why Jesus can use a word like follows me. I mean, think about it in this way, that if this is the darkness, and all of us, the scriptures say, come into this world under darkness because we're sinners, and Jesus is the light of the world, and he's calling out to us to follow him, that is, to trust in him as the only hope of salvation, we can't do that from over here. Right? But lots of people take a temporary interest in Jesus out of some kind of religious curiosity. They want to read the Bible. They want to find out more information. It's sort of an interesting story to them, and they become intellectually interested in Jesus, but they don't follow him. Or many people come to hear about Jesus, and they think Jesus is the answer for what they need right now. Maybe things aren't going well in their lives. They just seem frustrated or disappointed, or they're facing some trial or challenge or some difficult relationship, and they think, boy, if I add Jesus to my life, maybe that'll solve my problems. And they have sort of a temporary interest and attachment to Jesus. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He says, he follows me. In fact, just about 20 verses later, He says, the one who continues in my word is my disciple indeed. When it comes to Jesus, you don't get to add Jesus to your life, right? So everything goes a little bit better with a little Jesus added to your life. But Jesus actually calls us to abandon our lives to follow him. In fact, he says it so strongly in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John. He says, whoever loves his life loses it, but whoever hates his life in this world finds it to eternal life. There comes a point where there's a line that has to be crossed between loving darkness or turning to the light. You can't straddle that line so that you can have the best of what you want over here and then sort of cover the bases by adding Jesus to your life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me, that is, you hear about who I am, the sinless Son of God and what he did. He died on the cross and rose again as the sacrifice for sin so that he can offer life to all who trust in him. And he says, come to me, follow me, and you won't walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. And friend, that same call is extended tonight. Jesus is still the light of the world. He still offers to everyone who will acknowledge the reality of their sin and their lost condition that he will free them from darkness and free them from death with the promise of eternal life. I hope you know him tonight, that the one who's been so beautifully sung about, who came into this world so that he could provide salvation for him, he's not just a story, not just a bunch of neat things we talk about at Christmas, but this was God in human flesh who said without hesitation to all who would listen, I am the light of the world. You must come to deal with that. And it's either reject the light or bow your knee to and accept the light, who is Jesus Christ. And I hope tonight that you know that your hope and confidence is built in him, not in yourself, because he is the light of the world.